Dr. Rebecca McIntosh, marine biologist, she is based at the Phillip Island Nature Parks, and she's here to say it's not all about the penguins. Now, I understand that there's an opportunity for citizens, listeners, for everyday Australians to get involved in this census tally. Tell me about how people can get to be part of the seal count.
So basically, if you can imagine, we fly the drone over the seal colonies and we take photos, and then we stitch them together, we chop it all up, and we load it up into a portal that we've built. So Ross Holmberg, who's also with the Nature Parks, he's a bit of a whiz on the computer, and he's built this portal called Seal Spotter. And basically, there's too many images for us to count ourselves, and we thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to collaborate with the community and to share that bird's eye view, you know, that opportunity to look into a wild ecosystem that basically you don't have much chance to see. So we loaded all the images onto Seal Spotter, and people can get online from anywhere in the world and go through and count the seal pups for us and the seals.
It's not a vast panorama that people are counting. You've broken the images up into sort of mosaic squares. How does that then work?
So every image, there's no overlap because we stitch them all together before we chop them up. There's no overlap between the images. But for each person online, they'll come up randomly. And what we end up with is many, many different people participating, and every image gets counted more than once, up to five times. Then we get an average for every image of how many seals are in the photo, and that gives us our total when we add up all those averages.
And how are the seals broken up in terms of the counting for the citizen scientists?
So the main reason we look at the pups as the index for the population size is because they're the only age class when they're young that are all on the colony and out of the water. So we focus on the pups for the index of the population over time to get our trends and to see how the ecosystem might be changing or the population of fur seals might be changing. And then we're also looking at adults and juveniles because we're interested in how those numbers change over time. And entangled seals, so seals that are caught up in marine plastic debris.
But how could you detect an entangled seal, or even just if there was a trace of rope on a seal in such a an aerial photo?
Well, the technology is pretty good these days, so the resolution's fairly high.
Mm-hmm.
So you can certainly see it if it's got a big bit of bright green netting, for example. You can see that very clearly. Otherwise, it's kind of like being a bit of a computer brain yourself. You get used to seeing what a normal seal looks like, and you'll see one that looks a bit odd, or it might be lying in a strange position, and its neck looks a bit funny. So we ask people just to include it as an entanglement if they think it might be, so it could have some fishing line around its neck that looks a bit strange, or it could be weeping because it could have an open wound. And then we'll go back through and validate those images and give them a score of what percentage we think the likelihood is that it is a true entanglement, and we'll use that data accordingly.
It's 19 past 9 in Victoria, 19 past 7 in WA. You're on ABC Evenings with David Astle, and I'm chatting to Dr. Rebecca McIntosh, who's a marine biologist at Phillip Island Nature Park, and there's a really exciting initiative called the Seal Spotter Portal, a platform where all of us can get involved and start counting. How do you differentiate, Rebecca, between a young seal pup and a shadow on the rock platform?
Well, I think every now and then it can be pretty hard to see a cryptic little black seal pup on wet black rocks, for example. It can be a bit tricky. That's why we get the repeat counts of each image. So, and I count quite a few as well myself, so that we can look at an expert count versus everybody else's counts. But it's fascinating because actually the citizen scientists, as we found out with our latest paper in collaboration with Monash University, we found that there's like 95% agreement between citizen science counts and expert counts.
Is that right? So not much by way of aberration
or
discrepancy.
It's really useful.
And why is it that the fur seal is such a useful yardstick on habitat health?
Oh, that's a really good question, David, because if you think of marine top predators, you know, they're having two roles in the ecosystem. One is top down and one is up. So they're eating the weak, and they're eating what's happening in the food web, but they're also fertilising the ocean too. So if we monitor their populations as a top predator, then we get an idea if their populations are healthy, then the ecosystem's healthy. But a lot of marine predators don't leave the ocean, so they can be really hard to study, really hard to get a handle of their numbers. But the fur seals, because they come ashore to have their pups and they can form aggregations over these areas, then they're a big species really to understand what's happening in the ecosystem.